Hi, everyone. Taylor Schmaltz here, welcoming you back to episode 36 of the EvoFi podcast, a finance podcast for humans. In case you missed it, we posted a blog back in 2023 called Mistakes Your Financial Advisor Can Help Prevent, where we skimmed the surface on some problem areas. If you've not yet read that blog, we've got you covered. We're jumping back into it today, focusing on taxes. But a quick reminder before we jump in, this podcast is 100% free of any tax, legal, or investment advice. Our goal here is education and a little fun. If you need advice in any of the areas mentioned, tailored to your specific circumstances, feel free to give us a call and we'll see how we can help. Lastly, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Check us out on Instagram and YouTube at Evo Advisors, or drop the podcast a line at evofipodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get into it. Today, we're talking about taxes and some mistakes and problem areas where an advisor can help you prevent some mistakes. We're going to break our conversation down into three sections. The first, we're going to talk about missed deductions. Secondly, we're going to talk about missed opportunities for optimization. And then we'll round out the conversation by talking about failing to plan proactively and failing to take into account a multi-year approach rather than just taking taxes year by year, which is very easy to do because it's like, you know, you get the forms, you deliver them to your CPA or you plug them into TurboTax or whatever software you use, and then boom, you're done. I don't have to think about it anymore.
Right.
So, Stephen, why don't you kick us off with some missed deductions and mistakes that we often see and how we can help?
Yeah, so I think this is probably the area where we see the most, where someone's maybe made a charitable contribution, and you do that maybe a few times a year, and it can be really difficult to remember all of the ones that you've done. Some charities send you an email with confirmation of that. Some of them send you a letter.
Right.
You know, if you're not a paper person and you've got one piece of paper with a sizable charitable contribution that you made, it can be easy to misplace that. And so helping people go back and make sure that we're keeping track of all of those. And then not only that, but are we then seeing them on the tax return? Because I mean, anyone can make a mistake, right? And it's not a malicious mistake that's being made. Maybe if it's one piece of paper in a file, it just gets misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
A big one we see with a lot of business owner clients is the qualified business income deduction. And when you have control over your own salary, it can be tempting to give yourself a really large salary. Well, are you maximizing your QBI deduction that way? Maybe not. And other times you want to pay as little in Social Security and Medicare taxes as possible. So you go the other way with it. You pay yourself a really low salary. Well, you got to be really careful with that. There are IRS rules around the size of salary you need to pay yourself. And the QBI deduction can be this funny little thing where if you go too far on the profit side, you can actually end up hurting your qualified business income deduction. So it's not just deductions as in like this whole category, like, am I getting the charitable deduction or not? Sometimes it's deep within each deduction. Do we have everything set up the right way to make sure that it's being maximized? So yes, it's missing them in some cases, but in other cases, it's making sure that they've been maximized as well.
Right, right. And then with some of the, you mentioned it briefly, like it's the same challenge that you may have with charitable contributions. Some deductions for contributions to HSAs or your IRA, things that typically are done around the time of filing. And so those are things where you really want to make sure you've coordinated with your advisor and your tax preparer, because you don't necessarily have anything to hand them and say, hey, I did this and remember to do
it. Right. Well, and that's a great segue into the second portion, which is the missed opportunities for optimization. And I think sometimes a taxpayer will forget to update their tax preparer, their CPA, to say, I do have an HSA that I can make an additional contribution to, and I do have an IRA. And, you know, you get the tax forms for, say, the Affordable Care Act premium tax credit, but there's all these other things that tax preparation a lot of times is about making sure you've complied with the tax rules, filling out the form properly, and then giving the tax advice that comes from, this is what the code actually says, this is how you need to comply with it. That's one side. Then there's tax planning, which is what your financial planner can help you do, where you know the rules, you know the tax law, and so you say, here's how we can maximize some of these things, take full advantage. We're not giving the pure legal advice and the pure tax advice of this is the actual code and this is the way that you go through and you follow it completely. But you touched on, you know, if you get your taxes back and you crest it over into a bracket so that capital gains are now taxable, or if you are on the Affordable Care Act and you go over one of those thresholds, because it's based on the percentage of the federal poverty level. If you go over one of those bend points, the implications can be thousands of dollars.
Right.
And if you're looking for those ways to optimize your tax bracket and you're working with a planner, that's where you put together a tax projection and you say, we need to have some space in our back pocket going into April on the HSA side, on the IRA contribution side, so that you say, hey, tax preparer, don't file this return until we've talked about these things, because not everyone will have that opportunity, but a lot of people don't know they have the opportunity to optimize their tax return for the prior year in the current year.
Right.
And when you know that, and so you plan so that you go, hey, let's give ourselves a little bit of wiggle room. Let's make sure that in March and April, we still have some levers to pull.
Right.
It can make a big difference.
Right. And that's so true, especially since, you know, you don't really know. I mean, we can project as closely as we can get it, but it's a bit of an imperfect science because we can't know exactly how things are going to come out in the wash. And so when you've done sort of that final prep before you've hit the submit button or mailed your return in, it's really at that point that you're like, okay, this is where we're at.
Right. Right.
So to be able to do something.
Right. Well, and even the best planner is not necessarily going to be able to catch the capital gains distributions that come out from some funds that get paid out at the very end of December.
Right.
Right. I mean, you don't want to wait to do a Roth conversion or to do an additional 401k contribution or any of the, you don't want to wait until between Christmas and New Year's, because it might not be done in time.
Right.
So you have to do some of that planning earlier. And at Evo Advisors, we always leave a little bit of wiggle room because we never want someone to push it all the way up to the very max.
Right. Right.
That can, you're playing with fire potentially.
Yep.
But it's also part of what we do that when possible, we build in those few areas where your tax return's not final until you file it, because we're intentionally keeping back this option up until April 15th in many instances, and in a few up until your filing deadline, which if you extend could be all the way out to October 15th. So it's, again, it's just prudent planning to measure twice and cut once,
right?
And we like to not only measure twice and cut once, but also just leave ourselves with a little bit of an out.
Exactly. Yeah. And you touched on the Affordable Care Act premium tax credit, and because now a portion of that is advanced, you may be getting a reduced premium on a monthly basis throughout the year. And that can be a real kicker when you're filing your return and realize, all of the, you know, you have to sort of pay the piper, if you will, and go back and say, okay, all these, you know, all the premium credits essentially that were being advanced to you on a monthly basis, you then have to sort of recapture.
Well, and it's also, that's one of those areas where you can't take tax planning and do that in a vacuum.
Right.
Because it's going to impact cash flow.
Right.
Right. And so that's one of those areas of integration between cash flow and taxes where you say, if you're on the Affordable Care Act and you are getting premium tax credit, you're building a budget around how much your health insurance costs you each month.
Right.
But you're not necessarily building in, hey, let me just include lumping into savings at the by the end of the year, right, the full amount of this premium tax credit just in case.
Right, right.
That's a level of... So sometimes people go, okay, there's cash flow over here, there's tax mm-hmm. planning over here. This is where they meet.
Yeah.
And where we have to make sure that both are done well,
right,
with an eye towards each other, so that you don't end up at the end of the year and owe back thousands of dollars that you weren't expecting.
Right.
And that maybe you don't have because your budget and your tax plan didn't inform each other.
Right, right. So let's move on to, because you know, we've been talking a little bit about proactive planning, and that's what we wanted to talk about next, and kind of making heads or tails out of this whole tax planning thing and thinking about it from a multi-year approach. What are some of the areas where we see the potential for mistakes?
Yeah, I think we see it a lot with the, you mentioned it earlier, the easiest thing to do is say, for this 1 year, I don't want to pay more in taxes than I have to. And in a lot of instances, that's a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others where we actually intentionally want to pay more taxes now mm-hmm. because it's not our job to just look at the one tax year.
Right,
it's our job
right.
to look at the long-term plan and taxes over decades in
right.
some instances. And so we want to look at it and say, hey, doing a Roth conversion this year increases your taxes now, but then when we look out 5, 6, 7 years, especially with the currently slated increase in tax brackets mm-hmm. in 2026, when the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires,
mm-hmm.
there's this opportunity for a little bit of that bracket maximization mm-hmm. now, so that right. we're paying at a lower rate today instead of a higher rate in the future.
Yep.
So intentionally increasing those taxes, getting yep. some more money over into Roth, or you know, a really kind of funny one that's been a curveball just recently because of Secure Act 1 and Secure Act 2 and the rules around inherited IRAs. I mean, we've got all sorts of stories of clients who have done such a good job following the general rules,
mm-hmm.
right? Younger taxpayers who are putting money into their 401k or putting money into a Roth IRA because they're in a lower bracket now, all of a sudden they inherit an IRA.
Right.
And so rather than going, okay, let's keep taxes low now, we've got to flip the script completely
right.
and say, we have this 10-year period
yep.
that has now been assigned to us by the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to pay attention to that. But on top of that 10-year period, we also have, you're in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning for decades.
Right.
And so it becomes a game within a game. We have this inception going on where we're looking at the current year within, while keeping an eye on the next 10.
Right.
And also trying to make sure that those are still taken within the context of the overall plan.
Right. Right. Exactly. And one thing that we don't do, that I was just thinking about that could be helpful is showing sort of over a period of time the cumulative benefit of some of the tax planning we do and say, okay, over this 10-year period, if you had, you know, decided to defer withdrawing the account in its entirety until that last year, you know, you would have paid X in taxes. And
right.
then of course we're we're not doing tax planning in a vacuum. You don't just have one thing that you're thinking about. So when you're layering everything on top of it, and then you can kind of say, okay, hey, like over this 10-year period, you know, this is how much in tax, you know, you saved. And that could be a pretty powerful visualization just to see like the value of doing good tax planning. Because I think it's hard for people to remember the goal of
right.
tax planning,
right?
Because it comes around every year, and it's you know, there is the temptation because of the deadlines and all of that stuff to just say, okay, let's just get it done. But to remember that it is an integral part of your financial plan, especially if you have one of these inherited accounts, to work it in and figure out how to optimize it. And that's what we strive to do.
Right. Right. Well, and Yeah. And I think it's a, you know, you talk about no one year can kind of happen in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And that this is where all of the alternatives that we build come in. And we probably, you know, we sound like a broken record sometimes because mm-hmm. it's June and July and October and we're talking about taxes and people are like, I did that back in April. I don't want to think about that again until forms start rolling in January, February. But it's got to be a year-round thing mm-hmm. because if it's not, then, you know, we'll have a conversation with a client and they go, hey, I just got a raise or I just got a bonus. Great. We need to have an eye on that. Right. Don't just take all that and, you know, put it towards something today. What happens with the long-term goals that you have and how are taxes going to impact that? And you got a bonus of this amount. Is that the amount that you keep after taxes? You know, you have a child or you get married. All of these things do end up impacting taxes. And no one wants to think about that. Taxes are hard. Taxes are annoying.
Yeah.
Taxes involve, you know, that feeling of like it costs you something sometimes, right? Because, you know, oh, you're getting a refund. This is really great. My CPA or my planner did a great job. Well, a refund just means you didn't keep your own money throughout the year.
Right.
And then on the flip side, well, I owed. Well, depending on the amount you owed, mm-hmm. it could be really good tax planning. If you owe a ton and there's penalty, that's bad.
Right.
But if you owe a few $100s, then you got to keep your money and have it work for you in your own account rather than having the government return it to you at a later date.
Right.
So really someone needs to be thinking about it. Someone needs to be looking at it. And it's not fun. People don't enjoy doing this. And so we find that it's an area where we can add a ton of value. Right. Not only in catching mistakes by someone else, it's not that we're saying, hey, all tax preparers are bad.
And, right.
You know, they need our second set of eyes. We know a ton of really good tax preparers mm-hmm. who do things exactly the right way. It's us working with our clients at a much deeper level all throughout the year to make sure that the plan and the multi-year plan is the one that's optimized and working the hardest for them.
Yep. Well, I think that was all we had to discuss today.
So we've covered a lot today and a lot of listeners might say, hey, you mentioned something that I think might apply to me and I want to know a little bit more about that. Well, great. Please reach out to us. We've intentionally tried to make sure that we're not getting too deep into any one particular situation because, you know, even if you say, well, I'm worried about missing deductions or am I optimized? Similar to the way that we do our holistic planning, no tax plan is the same for two clients because it so has to be catered to you and your situation. Yeah, yeah. So if any of these things seem like they apply, please reach out. We'd be happy to sit down with you. And if you're not a client of ours, part of our process for talking to someone who's interested in becoming a client is including a free tax review if that's of interest. So please do reach out. We'd be happy to see if there are any ways that we can help.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stephen. And thank you for listening.